We're going to continue this morning in our series, Take the Lead, the five things that you can't do from a chair. Last week, we introduced this idea that you have to deal with the myths that you get told and taught and you believe and adopt early in life. Myth number one, that leaders are born and not made. That is not true. We're all leaders, at least in our own lives. You have to take personal leadership of your life. You have been gifted with at least three qualities of leadership: the investigator, the innovator, and the initiator. You have those qualities within you, and you have to bring them out. So leaders are made, not born. They're grown, they're developed over time. You are a leader. Second myth: only a few people are creative, and you don't happen to be one of them. Truth of the matter is, we're all created. We are created by God. He is our creator, and he has gifted us with that ability to take stuff that we get and make something of it. We can design and create. We create in very different ways. So we are all creative leaders. There's a creative leader in you trying to get out, and the first place it needs to show up is in your life as you deal with the defining moments. There are some things that you can allow other people to do for you, and there are some things you simply have to get up out of the chair and show up. We talked about six defining moments: crisis, change, opportunity, failure, success, and temptation. Last week, we talked about crisis and how to get up out of the chair and deal with a crisis and using those mental, emotional, and spiritual skills that God has given us, developing those. Today, we're going to talk about change. The change that happens in our lives constantly. We don't want it. Maybe you are here today and you are on the end of that kind of change. Change is not that difficult to deal with. We deal with it every single day. It is the kind of change. For example, if you take one picture per second, you have photography, right? Two pictures per second, photography. Three pictures per second, photography. Four, photography. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 23 pictures per second, you still have photography. 24, you have video. That's the transition. So that's the kind of change we're dealing with in our world right now. We're not in the 1, 2, 3. We're not in the first 23. We're in the 23 to the 24th change, where we go through transition. We're constantly having to let go of certain things and figure out how to let go and hold on to certain things. Give an example it seems subtle, and yet it is so huge. Out of the Old Testament, you know the story of Moses. He comes in from the backside of the desert. The children of Israel are in bondage, and they're crying out for delivery. And God chooses, of all people, the most unlikely person, a fugitive from justice, Moses, a has-been, a failure. 40 years in the backside of the desert studying sand and tarantulas. I mean, how cool could this guy be? And yet God chooses him. He is now the leader. He goes in to let my people go. And you know the plagues. And they get out and they come out with all their gold and silver. Their estimates is upward to 3 million people who are on this caravan. They go through the Red Sea. You know the parting of the Red Sea and all that stuff. Now they're on the other side. And they're on the way to the promised land. And they're hungry, and they're thirsty, and they're whining, and they're complaining. Sounds like your children on the way over here this morning, didn't it? And so here we pick up the story. Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? For they're almost ready to stone me." That's exactly what we do when we're upset, right? Blame the leader, kill him, get another one, blame him and kill him, right? That's the solution. The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb." Strike the rock. Is that very clear? Yes. I boldface and underline it for you. Strike the rock. Take the rod, the famous rod from the Nile, right? And strike the rock. And water will come out and the people will drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders, and he struck the rock and the water came out. So now we know how God in this situation is going to supply water, right? You take the rod, you strike the rock, you got water. Because you need water, 3 million people. I mean, come on. That's a lot of Perrier, isn't it? So we go a little bit further, and now they're thirsty again. A bunch of whining people, right? You got to have water every day, like whatever. Seriously. So now God says, take the staff, you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together and strike the rock. No, what? Speak to the rock. Oh, come on, God. Really? Seriously? Striking the rock. I like striking the rock. I'm even like, you know, practice striking the rock. It's like fly fishing. Wow, the rock. Really? Now we're going to speak to the rock. Do you remember the little problem I had with speaking? You remember when I didn't want to come and talk because I stuttered and wanted to. Remember that whole conversation? Rock. I mean, you know, I don't speak too well. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. And Moses raised his arm and what? He didn't just strike the rock. He did what? He struck it twice. Wham for good measure. Wham, wham for me. All right? I'm cool. He has style points. Right? Water gushed out in the community, the livestock drank. Now, here is at least what I take away from this. It wasn't about Moses. It wasn't about the rock. And it wasn't about the staff. And it wasn't about the water. It was about the people. Remember this. God always cares about people. He doesn't care about rocks and water and sticks and stuff and style points and methods. He cares about people. And so because in my mind, God wanted his people to have water, he said, okay, strike it, speak it, whatever, move over. Here's water. You get my point? So God didn't penalize the people because of the stupidity of the leader. And that's not always true, is it? Sometimes you go down with the leader. Yeah. He struck the rock twice. The water gushed out, and they okay. But But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me." I mean, look at what's at stake here. To honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not go into the promised land. I'm sorry. I think that's God. You know, you didn't ask me. I think that's bogus. Really, seriously. Okay, we strike a rock, we speak to a rock. Hello, what's the big difference? Well, you know what? In that case, there was a big difference. I mean, if you study the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, there are things that God lets people get by with I would have stuck them for. How about you? And then there are other little indiscretions, boy, he just seems to fly off the handle. See, you know what I'm saying? But here's what you learn when you study the whole sweep of redemptive revelation. That when God seems harsh, there's more going on than is what's on the surface. There's an undercurrent going on. Maybe Moses was trying to redeem himself. Moses was saying, you know what? This has been the hard part. Now striking, getting rock out of the water is nice. I like that. You know, I want to hit, I'm Moses, I can go to the Super Bowl of, H2O hydrates are us. I don't know, maybe whatever was going, but anyway, whatever happened, here's my point is sometimes God says strike the rock, and sometimes God says, and just because you want to strike the rock doesn't mean he's going to bless if you speak to the rock, and you speak to the rock when you should strike to the rock. I mean, things change, right? I mean, they just do. And here's the challenge is the only way to go through change is to embrace what is never changing and separate that from what is ever changing. Some things are always changing, but you can't embrace change with any degree of bravado, courage, intelligence, or intentionality if you aren't sure what is never changing. Some things need to be jettisoned. Some things need to be firmed up. Are you with me? Knowing the difference is absolutely everything in life. I'll give you an example. Talked about a couple of weeks ago, this little book, Who Moved My Cheese? I like cheese. Cheese is simple. Now, I'm going to tell you something, you know, that I don't talk about very much, but I was raised on government cheese. My daddy used to buy government cheese. Now, obviously, from your response, you don't know what government cheese is. But in Kentucky, they used to have trucks that would come around, and they would take whatever, I'm not sure how this works, but, you know, in Kentucky, they pay you not to grow stuff, like tobacco. And so, and milk and all this other stuff. And so the government subsidizes, and when it's, you know, you got enough, they go around and they give away government cheese. Are you aware of this? Seriously. I mean to tell you, in Jesus' name, government cheese, white bread, and mayonnaise is fine. I'm just saying. And if you have never had that experience, you have missed one of life's simple pleasures. But, you know, here's the thing. I've been all over the country. I've gone to Wisconsin. Wisconsin cheese is good. Cheese is just good. Cheese is. Cheese abides, right? It just moves. It just moves, and you got to move to it. And that simple little book, if you ever read Who Moved My Cheese, you ought to read it. It's a great, simple little lesson that sometimes, you know, the cheese is there. It's just somewhere else. And we get so used to doing the same thing the same way, right? We get up at the same old time. We get dressed the same old way. We eat the same old meal, get the same old car, drive the same old way to the same old job, huh? Get off at the same old time, drive it back the same old way, get home to the same old wife. Sit in the same old chair, eat the same old dinner, go to sleep at the same old time, wake up, ask the same old question, get the same old answer, and go to bed and get up and do it all over again, right? We're not just creatures of habit. We're creatures of habitual habit. We will even repeat habits that are killing us. We call them addictions. And so we need to learn how to break free from those things that were once good but no longer good and need to go away. I have to tell you, I've been a student of people, myself, all of my life, and I'm amazed at how much heartbreak people bring themselves simply over things they ought to let go. Malls, for example. Malls morph. I mean, in this city, we have malls that have actually shut down. How is that possible? I mean, it happens all over the country. Paul and I, several years ago, we were out in California, used to go to Crystal Cathedral every year for a conference. And right now from Crystal Cathedral in L.A., there's a mall. And it's a nice mall. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, some mall with, you know, gangbangers out front, you know, hijacking, you know, credit cards. It was a nice mall. So we come back to next year. It is torn down. It is gone. We'll come back to next year, and there's this beautiful outdoor kind. You remember how it used to be years ago when you'd have the town square, or you have downtown, you'd have the little streets and all the shops lining. That's how the malls are being remade, even here in Nashville, all over the country. Well, what are we doing? Are we still shopping? Duh. Yes. But we're just shopping differently, aren't we? Some of you buy all your books from Amazon. Some of you buy your books from Borders. Some of you buy your books from Barnes & Noble. I have now transitioned. I buy most of my books to a Kindle. Are we still reading? Yes. It's just changing. Some things stay the same. Some things morph. And you need to understand how to separate those two things, particularly in God's big world. And let's just be honest about it. This is not your house. This is His house. Right? This is my Father's world, right? He's got the whole world in His hand. He got the whole world in His hand. He got the whole world in His hand. He got the whole world in His hand. He's got you and me, brother, in His hand. He got you and me, brother, in His hand. Let's take an offering. You want to say, no, just kidding. I mean, this is His house. And you know what? You need to learn how to behave in the Father's house. Right? So here is what it means to embrace change. Malls morph. There are three things we could be here all day. But there are at least three things that seem to me that change, that seem to be the most acute in their effect on us day to day. One, the plans we make change. Right? I mean, how many of you are into like plan Q? This is not A, this is not B, this is not C or D. This is like, good night. I'm going to have to throw the plans away. I mean, how many of you have ever, you got married and you didn't plan to be divorced, but now you're remarried and you're happy? You know, who knew? I mean, who knew God could do that? You know, you're on a different job, you're in a different career. How many, we now know that over 70%, get this, over 70% of the college graduates of this year will spend their lives in a profession other than that for which they have been trained. And many of you are in that same place. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But this just is how life changes. Our plans change. Listen to what the scriptures say, Proverbs 19. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevails. How many times have you ever said, oh God, I just want this so bad. I want it, 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 I want it. And you have you lived long enough to realize it's not what you want, it's wanting what you get. That's the key, isn't it? Because oftentimes, the very thing you want, when you get it, you go, oh, my Lord, what was that? What was I thinking? Hello? Polyester. What were we thinking? I mean, the styles change. And those are, I mean, now we're into, do all women in America, I mean, I got four women in my life, so this is how I judge it. Do all women in America have purses the size of Samsonite carry-on luggage? Do they? Seriously. I'm like, oh my gosh. Somebody saw me the other day we're in a restaurant and I was helping Paul out of the booth and I said, oh, isn't that nice? I said, no, I'm not really nice. She just can't get up by herself with her purse. Gee whiz. I mean, our kitchen table looks like somebody's getting ready to go to the airport. I mean, this is what I carry. This is it, man. You know what I'm saying? Really. I remember a day when they were little, now they're larger. I remember a day when Polly used to get up wearing orange juice cans in her hair, big roll. You know, I mean, it all changes, doesn't it? Nothing wrong with it. It just changes. But sometimes we get so fixated and focused on something that was good, that's no longer good, that we embrace it. And not only is it not good, it's corrupting and destructive. Here's another thing that changes. The people that we know and do life with often changes. I find that to be the hardest thing to deal with. Because I don't know about you. I am, you know, I act tough. But I give my heart away pretty easily. I get around people I like and I believe in them and they believe in me. And they say, man, I love you. I'm going to be with you to the end. I just didn't know the end was that near. I've been around people and you just say, man, we're going to do life together. It's going to be great. And they're gone. You don't hear from them. They don't call you back, you know. And you say, well, you know, that was weird. And all of a sudden, what happens is this, is you begin to mistrust people. And you think that does everyone here understand that everyone comes in one basic size? Messy. Some are just more messed up than others. And you have to embrace people for what they are. And there are people, and if you don't, if you're younger, like you're in your 20s, let me help you out. God will bring people into your life for a season, and then he will send them away. If you go after them, you'll do it to your own demise. And that's tough. That is really tough. Because you fall in love with people. You love, you care about them. You do life together. You make history with them. Are you with me? And so sometimes we want to go after the very people who are no longer good for us. Good to us or good for us. And that's why people, particularly in marriage, sometimes you can take a woman who's been abused and she'll keep going back to him because she's holding on to those old memories and this old hope that I can change him. And Bubba, you cannot change him. Only God can change him. You can't change him. By the way, if he throws the socks on the floor while you're dating, he's going to throw his underwear on the floor once you get married. Can I hear an amen? Definition of dating, here it is. The lies we tell in order to get another one. How many times have Paul and I sit down across from couples and say, you know, we didn't talk about this before we got married. Of course not. Because then you wouldn't have gotten married. And you both have been, well, nothing. It's tough to transition people. It really is. I'd be the first to admit it. There are people who are out of my life today who I'd love to have back in my life. I still think about it. I wish I could just forget it and go on. But here's the other thing that's really good. For all the people that God sends away, he brings in better people. Now, I have to be honest, and maybe this is not your experience. When I've had to let go of some people I thought I couldn't live with, God has always, I've always traded up. So there are better people out there. There are good people out there. There are strong, loving, gracious people out there. There are productive people. There are creative leaders out there. There are people who are living out of the in the flow and out of the overflow and have something to offer to you. But you're going to have to let some people go in order to embrace these new people. Because you can only be friends with so many people. Here's the third thing that's changing. Priorities change. The priorities that we pursue change. The plans that we make change. The people that we know change. I never dreamed in all of my life. Now, please indulge me just a little bit. But, and I hope I'm not being just, you know, an old fart and an old, just retelling history and all that stuff. But I do believe, and I think I have some proof, I do believe I was raised during the coolest car era in America. Right now, I have a great truck. I love it. It's just a truck. It's black. Nothing sexy about it, nothing cool about it, except it works. Thank you, Jesus. 79,000 miles on it, still have the original tires. No hair on that story. But I was raised during a time when it was cool to have a car. Orange, jacked up in the back. On Friday night, what do? Cruise. Where were we going? Nowhere. But how did we look on the way? Good. Woo! God has showed up. Now, I say all that to make a confession. I never dreamed I would ever own a minivan. Golly. A minivan. I mean, look at people today at minivans. And I've never seen a person in a minivan yet at a stoplight that didn't look embarrassed. But let's admit, if you've got a minivan before you get mad at me, sometimes the smartest thing to do is to own a minivan. Because you got kids and you got stuff and you're going places and you don't need a cool car and you don't care. You know what I'm saying? You need miles per gallon. Not gallon per miles. You know, you need something that will work and go. You need a minivan. You need something that will fit on the fast food window at McDonald's. Because you're going, 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 going. I mean, you're a minivan mama and a French fry father, right? I mean, you're going, going. You're raising a family. You got to go across town and down. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? Then there are times, if you notice all these older people now buying convertibles. And that old skin flapping the wind. Get a helmet and... Here's my point. Priorities just do change, don't they? You look back at stuff and you thought, well, how in the world did I ever drive that? Well, you know what? That was practical for the moment. It was practical to live in apartments. It was practical to be a member of this or not of that. I mean, they just change. They just do. And there's not necessarily a moral or spiritual value to it. It's just the way it is. Are you with me? Now, if you're not flexible and changeable and malleable and moldable when it comes to the people who come in and out of your life, the plans where you have to go to plan B or C or D, and the priorities have to change because you know what? Hey, listen, when your kids are little preschoolers, trust me, you're going to be spending your time very differently than how you will when they're high schoolers. Are you with me? Doesn't mean one is bad and one is good. It just simply means that it changes. Okay? Now, in the midst of all of this change and transition, I'm telling you, you must have a changeless core. And if you don't understand what is never changing, you will never embrace the joy and the growth and the newness and the excitement of what is ever changing. God intended life to be more like a roller coaster than he does the Natchez Trace. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a ride motorcycle, so I like the Natchez Trace, and I hate the Natchez Trace. I'll tell you two reasons I hate it. Number one, if you go down the Natchez Trace long enough, it all looks the same. A tree is 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 a tree after 100 miles. Amen? Three things I hate. The second thing is there's only two ways to go in the Natchez Trace, the right way and the wrong way. And sometimes there isn't much way to know. But here's the third thing. You can't stand in Natchez Trace. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. I hope the new Supreme Court judge will do something about it. 40 miles an hour in the Natchez Trace. That is sick. I roll out of bed faster than that. I'm saying 40 miles an hour. You're on a motorcycle and you're going 40 miles an hour. That is wrong. Gee, what? You get behind Fred and Margaret from Louisiana with a truck that's 25 feet long and a trailer that's 65 feet long. You can see the whole thing on the horizon like a train. And you come up behind it. There's no passing. You got 78 cars, you, 45 motorcycles, from Fred and Margaret from Louisiana. And when you are sitting behind a big dump truck, the view never changes. Except you get pelted with rocks, right? Life is, and that's how we want it, isn't it? We want it safe, we want it slow, we want it predictable, and that is just not life. It's not the way God intended it. It's not the way anyone in the scriptures ever lived it. And it's not how God promised it to you. Here's what he promised. Life will be an adventure. It will be unpredictable. It will have its ups. It will have its downs. It will have its seasons. It will have its situations. Sometimes it will be dark and difficult to see the light. And sometimes everything will work. But here is who I will be during the up and the down. When the malls morph, here's what you can count on. One, you can always trust and count on the purposes of God to never change. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm. How long? Forever. The purposes of his what? God has a heart. Yes, and they stand established. What is God up to? God is up to redeeming and reclaiming the world, pointing it to a climax and to when we all enter into eternity where life will be fully as he intended. Now, I have to be honest with you and tell you something about, we're all moving toward an eternal destination. The scriptures tell us that there's a heaven to be gained. But here's my problem with heaven. You've never heard me speak on heaven, ever. You may never, because I have absolutely no way to make it anything other than boring. Seriously. Streets of gold, really? Okay. I mean, seriously. After a while, even that looks, really. I mean, if eternity is just going to be one long church service, we're here, one long sermon, I don't want to go. How about you? I just stay here. I mean, have you ever experienced some things it's just really hard to get better than that? I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about, like, stuff. Ever been in a great football game where that memory of that moment is stuck in your brain? Ever been on a trip or a vacation that when you really go back to think about the highlights of your life, you think about some of those? And you ever been on, in a relationship with someone that you love and everything just seemed to be to stand still? And you look at all of those human experiences and you compare them with the heaven experience and you think, how can it get better? But it is. God's purpose to redeem your life and to bless your life and to bring you into the eternity he intended will happen. You can count on it. Everything else is just, you know, stuff. You can also count on never changing God's power in the present to carry out his purposes. Listen to what Paul said. He's talking to a group of people who lived in a city much like Nashville. It was Rome. It was the center. It was an attraction place of the best of the best of the best, the best minds, the best intellect, cultural center, a commerce center, much like Nashville is, a hub for the best of the best of the best. I love living in this town because there's so many creative people, creative writers and artists and painters and all these really creative type people that kind of magnetize and put themselves right here in this epicenter. And Rome said to that place of intelligence and accomplishment and achievement, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. What is the power of God? The power of God is found in the person and the reality of Jesus Christ, evidenced in our lives every day as he carries out God's purpose to redeem the world, to reclaim the world, to love people back into relationship, to reclaim culture in the future to himself. And the great thing about this power is it ain't mine, and I don't wield it, and I don't have to. Aren't you glad we don't have to save the world? He can do that on his own. We don't have to save ourselves. He's done that for us. What do we got to do? Enjoy it, which is the hardest thing in the whole world to do, isn't it? The next series I'm going to do is called What's Your Big Hurry? How to be the best at being here and happy. I know a lot of people who are here who are just not happy to be here. But you know what? You can never be anywhere else but here. Thank you. Three, God's promises never fail. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. You say, well, if my paths aren't straight, then you're not trusting him, dude. Simple. Yeah, well, no, you're not. Liar, liar, pen's on fire. No, you're not. If you were trusting him and leaning him, what would happen to your paths? They'd be straight. It may not be the straight paths you want. It may not be going as fast down that path as you would like. It may not be the neighborhood you would have chosen for yourself, but it would be a straight path. Right? His promises never change. How about this? His priorities never change. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. We just got through with a series called Generous Wins. What does that mean? It simply means that in every situation, a redemptive, generous response always wins the day, because that is what God is into. Generously, lovingly, graciously redeeming people. That's his priority. People, having them loved, healed, helped, and saved is his top priority. And anytime you focus your attention and your resources toward that, you have put yourself at the epicenter of what God will always do and always bless and always prosper. So God's purpose, power, promise, his principles never change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. They will always be true. Even in our sophisticated culture, it is better to live by them than to violate them. To violate them is to corrupt life as we know it. How about this? The last, God's passion never changes. Listen to this. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. When I became a man, I put away, what does that say? Child. It doesn't say childlike. Childish things. Now we see in a poor reflection of a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. For I know in part, then I shall know fully as I'm fully known. Boy, what a great promise. God promises in the future for those of us who trust him a place, a space, and a face. In eternity, I'm going to see you. Now, if you have a facelift, careful that you don't change it too much, because they might mistake you from someone else going to. I'm just saying. Facial recognition will be in heaven. So I'm just saying, just be careful, right? I mean, think about it. If God's purposes, his power, his promise, his priority, if the principles as that he's woven into the fabric of reality and his passionate love for us never changes, then bring the rest of it on. Huh? Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. Really, seriously. You could face anything then. You can face the loss of a marriage. You can face the loss of a child. You can face the loss of your health. You can face the loss of a job. You can face the loss of anything. Because what's the worst? I mean, what is the worst that could happen to you today? You could wake up dead. Or you could wake up the dead. Which is it? Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to achieve in this place, and these amazing men and women, I look at their face, I look at their eyes, and I know that you, when you look at them, you smile. There is joy in your heart. These are your people, and these are the men and the women through whom you love and you give. These are the people through whom you redeem the world and redeem culture. These are the ones that you gift and invest with so much of what the future will bring to us. Father, just continue to bless them, I pray. You say in your word that if we would come to you and just give to you, not just our money, but ourselves, that you would open up the windows of heaven and you would pour out a blessing that we couldn't contain. And Father, we want to take you at your word today. Then this world of radical transformation to which we will never go back to the old ways, help us to change and morph into the men and women that can seize the future for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you guys. Go get them. Have a great day.